Doya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
And so the report found that Islamophobic attacks requiring hospitalization rose 3% in recent years. So why do you think this is the case?
Actually, when you think about the whole number, it is not a huge increase, but still concerning because every individual is valuable and no one deserves to be hurt, to be attacked just because of their belief. So that is still concerning. And I think now the recent research in the world, also in Australia, showed that far-right extremist groups are increasing. They're becoming more visible. And also they become popular by tapping into the Islamophobia rhetoric, anti-Muslim hate, because Islamophobia is getting very much normalized. So that is how they become popular now. We can say that these groups are now becoming more and more visible and active. And their first and foremost target is Muslims. That's why we see an escalation of hate. When it comes to physical cases, now we see incidence severity level is increasing. And also when you look at the online cases, also likewise, we see a very damaging level of hate is spread around, such as massacring all Muslims, burying all Muslims. So these are the rhetoric. I think it is very much related to the increase of far-right extremist groups and their visibility through tapping into the popularized, normalized Islamophobia.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, and you know, as you mentioned in your study, it's Muslim women who wear headscarves such as like the hijab and the niqab, they're most at risk of experiencing Islamophobic abuse. So why exactly is this?
Yes, it seems like, according to our records as well, young women especially and visible with their hijab are the targets. And I think visibility is the problem, because when you look at the rhetoric, the insult rhetoric, because we also analyze and see what do they say when they're attacking people. And we found that both in online and offline cases, physical cases, people are problematizing Muslims' visibility. So that is very much articulated by them in their insults as well. They're insulting people's religious appearance, their religious values. So I think people have unease with the visibility of Muslims. That's one thing. The hijab is one problem. But also when you look at the attackers, they are choosing women when they're alone, and also when they're with their children. So they are trying to attack vulnerable people. And this shows the covered eyes of the perpetrator as well. When people are, women are defenseless, and they're with their children, so they're vulnerable and they're targeted. And I think also, although we don't have the report, I guess people unable to speak English, elderly are also targets, but because of the language, or you know, restrictions, and also not reporting to the register, we don't really keep the record. But I think these people are also under threat. So visibility, vulnerability, and unable to defend in oneself become, I think, making these people targets of the covered, I would say, perpetrators.
Absolutely, because you see that I'm assuming you probably saw that video from just a couple of weeks ago from Parramatta, and like, you know, the dude that attacked this woman was a big dude, and you know, like she was just, you know, a Muslim woman with friends, and you know, frankly, it's disgusting. But So you see things like this, and it's horrific. But do you think maybe, like, I guess scaremongering from like the media and politicians might also be to blame, as well as the rise of far right groups?
Yes, obviously, because the problem is that what, you know, we said visibility is a problem, but what does visibility tell people? Why it is alarming for people? And when you look at the rhetoric now, common rhetoric on media, there is no clear distinction between ordinary Muslims and terrorists. So there is a very big mismatch. And then every people can think, oh, these are potential danger, security danger. And also there is like contamination of the white culture or original clean nation and the pride, and then seeing Muslims as an Islamic culture as a contamination. So that is very much, I think, embedded through the political rhetoric as well. This kind of picking up and also blaming unnecessarily without making a tangible argument, having these, I think, allegations again and again, there is also a kind of by default association of Muslims with threats like security threat, cultural threat, demographic threat as well. They're increasing, they are, you know, overtaking our country. So these are the threats. I think people just get alerted when they see Muslims. And how they see Muslims is through visible Muslims, and mostly they're women who are wearing hijab. And also there is sexism as well. We need to identify this as well. Sometimes when women are accompanied by their partners, they're not being that much targeted, or their level is not that severe. So it seems like there is also sexism, because, you know, all these male white men are trying to pick up women. That is not a random selection, obviously.
Absolutely. You know, it's as you mentioned before, it's cowardly. Now, most of us are somewhat aware of the figures, but what exactly can we do? Like, is there any way that, you know, general society can do anything to help prevent, I guess, the perpetuation of this Islamophobic rhetoric?
Yeah, I think we need to acknowledge that there is a bad culture growing in our house, and everyone should take responsibility. It is not Muslims' problem. So if there is a bad culture, everyone, every single person, including parents at home, should really be responsible for that. And I think once, I think first in governmental level or authorities, I think should recognize the problem, and also legal protection for people, especially religious vilification is in limbo situation. So there is no legal protection if people are harassing, abusing on basis of religious discrimination. So that needs to be, I think, simply, very simple legal protection will really show people the consequences of religious vilification and harassment. Also, as society, as I said, we can't accommodate hate. And sometimes we are goodwill people, we are reporting incidents, and our heart is with the victim, but we need to express it as well. If we stay silent at the time of an incident, or just, you know, if we see something, a post or something, just keeping silent really is a tacit approval of such perpetuations, because we find perpetrators are really brazen and reckless. They are just harassing publicly. When people are surrounded, Muslims are surrounded by everyday people, they just continue harassing. So it means that they are heartened, and they are heartened by our silence. We need to really, we can't stay silent. And also one way of showing action is really reporting cases. Reporting, especially now we're at the end of 2019, and I would encourage our audience to really visit islamophobia.com.au page, and when they see an incident, it can be online, it can be physical, as witnesses, if they're victims as well, they can report incidents, because that way we are able to collate numbers and also show what is going on, where are the problems, what are the alarming findings, and we're trying to also do some advocacy to make a change and raise awareness. So one thing is reporting, I said, the other is not accommodating hate, and also sometimes if we find people are harassed, we shouldn't leave people alone. We can support them. We can make them feel good. They are wanted. They are needed. They are part of this country, because in the silence, in the absence of support, victims are, I think, disappointed twice. One is perpetrator recklessly harassing. Second is no one is owning them, defending them. They feel alone, and the impact becomes long term.
Absolutely. If you see something, say something. It's such an important, it's an important part of, stopping the hate. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Doya. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure. Thank you for making time to learn more about the findings as well.
Thanks. Oh, it's my pleasure to have you here. Thank you.